After Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, the island is still without fresh water, supplies, and relief efforts. You can help. Head to GoFundMe.com/Operation Puerto Rico Gift Lift to donate cash and supplies. For more information, head to brief.promaxbda.org. Hello, I'm Paige Albiniak, editorial director for Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. In today's episode, Ashley Vincent, CMO of Amsterdam-based healthcare firm My Tomorrows and Twitter's former head of brand strategy for the Netherlands and Belgium, dispels the so-called measurement myth. According to Vincent, every platform is different, with people using Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Insta, and Pinterest, just to name a few, for distinct purposes. What's a marketer to do? Vincent offers some advice and strategy on how best to use data to effectively reach people where they live digitally. Let's listen in to Vincent's talk from Promax BDA Europe in Amsterdam. All right, why are we here today? We're here to talk about the measurement myth, or as some people say, does size matter? And my clicker, there we go. This is me. I am currently a chief marketing officer at a healthcare startup. So how the hell am I here presenting to you today? Well, I have a background in advertising. I started out in BBDO, I've worked at DDB, and most recently, I was at Twitter. And as someone that was producing content and giving creative advice to a lot of clients, you may remember the day when this used to be our brief. Can you make my video go viral? I want a viral video. Yeah, and I want a Dutch guy that pays for dinner. Okay, so, hi Dutch, how you doing? Goedemorgen. So what has happened now? What has gone from the viral video? What has happened is we've gone on to big data. We are so excited. We have all this data. We know exactly how things are performing. We can measure our viral videos. We have fallen in love with data. And we look at these charts. Oh my God, look at that. Oh my God, did you see that rise? It's amazing. Oh, and the dots. Oh. So sexy. Oh my God, did you see those views? Oh, you can tell where the engagement is. Ugh. And a lot of us think that data is telling us when we've actually succeeded. And you see this, I'm really big on Twitter. I have a lot of followers, yeah. And then the sad thing though is that data actually makes us feel bad about ourselves. It's not fair, my Instagram photos are the same, but you got more likes. Ugh. But the question is data telling the truth? Is this thing that we're in love with telling us something that is actually true and we can actually understand and believe in? I don't know if any of you follow American politics. We had this election back in November, and this guy they totally didn't think was gonna win won, but all the data, with very few exceptions, all the data predicted that he was going to win. And that was the mistake. We started believing in data. We believed in data so much that we actually chose Donald Trump as president of the United States. I spent like a good 30 minutes just searching. What can I find the most annoying photo of him that I can put on screen? There was a lot to choose from. The thing is, even though we've been told over and over and over again, data isn't necessarily accurate, it's not real, we have all the things coming out about Facebook saying, oh, whoops, we measured it wrong, sorry. We have things going on, I still get clients saying, how many impressions did I get? How many views did I get? How many likes did I get? And this is the goal, this is what's right. So a lot of you have already seen this, and I thought, why not, let's show it again. But this is the dream. This is why people still want the big numbers, because they want this magic to happen.
Democracy, scandals happen all the time. The question is, how do democracies respond to those scandals?
And what will it mean for the wider region? I think one of your children has just walked in. I mean, shifting sands in the region. Do you think relations with the North may change?
I would be surprised if they do. Pardon me. Pardon me. My apologies.
What is going to be for the region?
My apologies. North. Sorry. South Korea's policy choices on North.
Amazing. I think the best part was her Kramer entrance. And then when she got down to like she wouldn't be noticed. You're don't worry, you're out of frame. It's fine. But this is what, when advertisers see this shit happen, they're like, oh my God, this is it. Okay, it could happen. This viral thing could happen. We could get these millions of views. We could really grow our brand. We just need to throw a Coke bottle in the photo. The thing is, advertisers ask me this all the time. When I was working at Twitter, when I worked at the ad agencies, how do I drive the clicks? And that was the voice they used. They sounded like they're from Southern California. How do I drive the clicks? And when we look over and over, if I was in an asshole-y mood, I would say, well, people click on babies, people click on puppies, and people click on boobs. And you see this in the ads. Oh my God, babies, E-Trade. Oh, hang on. Puppies from the Budweiser ad. Oh my God, a puppy and a horse become best friends. Sorry, that's a little bitter. Sorry, Budweiser, ex-client, love the ad. And then, of course, boobs. Oh my God, boobs, more boobs. And my favorite advertiser, where are they? I've run out of boobs. This is really funny, my whole thing. Oh, there it is, okay. Hang on, I gotta go back to these boobs, though. There we go, all right, there we go, boobs. Suit Supply, amazing Dutch marketer. So a lot of people think that there's some magical success formula. Are there things that we can actually put together that will actually equal some sort of success? Is there a formula? And then I ask everyone, all right, so you got a million views. What does that mean? Does that mean you've had some sort of success? And when you look at the truth, we don't actually know. When I did this in advertising and I did this in Twitter, we're always trying to correlate, what did these views mean? What did these likes mean? What did this engagement mean? Did it actually correlate to anything? And the truth is, we can't really ignore this type of thing. We can't ignore data. Despite us not being able to actually prove a correlation, we can't ignore the data. So the thing is, we can use data. We can use data. We can make data great again. I've been dying to say that forever. I actually have the hat. My dad got me the Make America Great Again hat for Christmas. Because clearly my father hates me. So the question becomes, how do I use data to be a numbers-based creative content producer that panders to the audience to get clicks? Obviously, no. But a lot of us are being asked to do that. And really what you're looking at is, how do you use data to give you insights and information so you can make more successful work? And that's the purpose of data. So how are we going to use the data? We want to use data to get insights. We want to use data to get knowledge. And we want to use data in a way to ignore. And in a way to say we have to trust our vision and our gut despite what the data says. So first of all, let's use data to get insights. One of my favorite tweets, you're not as happy as you sound on Facebook. You're not as hot as you look on Instagram. And you are as f***ed up as you seem on Twitter. And Trump continues to prove that. Of course, data can actually help you understand the world today. So, interesting stat I recently pulled. We touch our phones almost 2,600 times a day. A little creepy. Another stat is that the human attention span is only 8 seconds. A goldfish has the attention span of 9 seconds. Just to demonstrate how long 8 seconds is, let's see if we can do this. Here it goes. 1 1,000, 2 1,000, 3 1,000, 4 1,000, 5 1,000, there it is. Oh my God, are you guys worn out? Because I am. That was really hard to focus for that long. And obviously, media consumption is shifting to mobile. And one of the reasons I like this animation so much, or this video, is that it really shows this is how people are browsing content. It used to be couch surfing. Now they're actually mobile surfing. They're browsing, looking for something that catches their interest, that stops their thumb. So if you look at time spent with media, and I think this should be reassuring to people that are doing TV, it's not necessarily that people are moving away from TV. They're actually increasing to mobile. So if you look at the stats, so in the dark blue, you see 2016, and estimate is light blue for 2017, you see only a tiny dip. And when you actually read the stats behind this article, they're saying that we're reaching a saturation point. I mean, how much more time out of 12 hours, out of a 24-hour day, can you spend with media? But again, maybe we're not spending a tiny less time with television, but we're spending more time on our mobile. The other thing is data can actually explain behavior. So this reminds me of a younger version of my father watching Fox News. We're still watching a lot of TV. The thing is, this is how people are watching TV today. So there's a series of screens, we're multitasking constantly. We have a laptop, maybe our phone, and we have the TV going on. And if you look at these stats here, so what are people doing? So we have blue here is 2014, light blue is 2016. So you see this huge jump. So people now in 2016 are browsing related content to what they're watching. And then now we see an increase of going on to online discussions about the stuff they're watching on television. And what's kind of crazy, 20% of people are watching two or more programs at the same time. 8-second attention span, multitasking. And again, data shows the differences. So when we talk a lot about social media marketing, and people are always like, what's the trick to social media marketing? And one of the things I always say is understanding there is no such thing as social media marketing. There's marketing for different types of venues and different types of executions. So even just looking here at the difference, I mean, Twitter, we hear about live. If we're on Facebook, it's to connect with people, see pictures of your friends' feet and their children. And YouTube, you go to be entertained. Instagram, you're looking at celebrity photos. So every single platform is different. And one person is using all these different things, but they're doing it for different reasons. And then, if you look at even the stats of how often people use this, if you look there, Facebook, 76% of people are actually checking Facebook daily. But then, let's say you're doing something on LinkedIn. They're barely logging in. 18% are checking LinkedIn on a daily basis. So again, this goes back to every platform is different, and people are behaving differently on the platforms. So for data, you can take away key insights. That people spend a lot of time on their phone, people are looking at many screens, and of course, every platform is different. The next thing, use data as knowledge. So a lot of people get a lot of data coming at them, and we don't know what's accurate. How did we actually perform? And I used to work at an ad agency in Chicago where we did a lot of Super Bowl ads. And I always found this funny because clients would say, okay, we want to spend all this money on the Super Bowl ad, $5 million for the spot. We have to produce it because we really think it's going to get something because we believe that's really going to drive sales. And this is the trend. This is from about two Super Bowls ago. Right now, a $5 million TV spot is running on the TV in front of you. Retweet if you're looking at your phone. And even you can see a guy down there says, I'm at the game and I'm on Twitter, LOL. So what we're doing now on television, we've lost that attention. People are actually looking at their screen. Is the stuff, are the numbers that we thought were so effective actually working? And the first thing you have to understand, so important, is that not all metrics mean the same thing. In this perfect world of digital, you would have these senior people working it on digital, people that knew how this worked. And you would also have platforms that were all the same, that they were very easy to compare. And you would also have no ad fraud. You would also have no ad blockers. And measurement would be easy. But the reality is more like this, a chaotic Mad Max world where there is no clear vision of actually what's going on all these different platforms with your metrics. So again, how do you measure? How do you do this when everything is so different and so chaotic? So a lot of times, this is what a lot of my clients felt like. If you're actually trying to decipher what all these different metrics mean, if you go to their site and you try to decide, what is this? And I asked myself a simple question. So, and I've done this exercise before, and I did it again this weekend, is what counts as a view on Facebook, on Twitter, and for instance, on Snapchat? And what I found after literally 2 hours of researching and trying to get an exact definition from all the platforms was that it was very confusing. So I just took this little chart here. So if we look at actually Facebook here, and then we look at the mobile view type, so 50% of screen. So the video is only showing in 50% of the screen. And we look at the time, 3 seconds, media diet dependent, meaning you spent media. You said, I'm okay having my video content show up on Facebook on a mobile platform at only 50% of the screen and count for 3 seconds, and I'm going to count that as a view. Half screen, 3 seconds, and you're telling marketers, you're telling content producers that you now have a view? But here's the crazy thing, Twitter. When I first went to Twitter, we were counting at 100% of screen. But because of the pressure from Facebook, we said, okay, now you can actually have 50% of screen, we'll count your view at 2 seconds, and if you buy that type of media. And then let's look at Snapchat. Again, wow, this is great, Snapchat's a lot better, it has a full render of a view. But upon render, and what does that mean? That means the second it actually shows up, they count that as a view. So it's not if someone, it held for even a few seconds, the second it just shows on the screen, they're saying, you got a view. And is it media buy dependent? I actually couldn't figure it out. As much as I searched and searched for the stuff, and this is something that I did as a job, I could not find clarity on this. And just to give you an example of a definition, this is on Facebook's site. I cut and pasted it from them. So the number of times your video was watched for an aggregate of at least 3 seconds or for nearly its total length, whatever happened first. How to calculate? The metric counts when your video was watched for an aggregate of 3 seconds or more or 97% site, whichever happened first. What the fuck? And this is the shit they're telling us. And what's crazy about this whole thing is they forgot to mention the 50% screen. Everyone's like, okay, I'm fine, okay, it showed for three seconds. But what does this mean? Here I am looking at my cousin's post about the stunning 17-year-old giant cave used by the Knights Templar hiding behind a rabbit hole. Oh my God. And then meanwhile, we got the ad up there running, 1,000, 2,000, 3, boom. That's a view. That's the data you just got back. That's what they told you was successful. This is 100% view. This is a video running at 100% view, but nobody is actually counting that anymore. You know why? Because the media agencies want to tell the clients that they did really well, that they were very successful, that no one scrolled by their content. And if you put this into context, imagine if this was television. Imagine if you were running an ad like this on television. Can you imagine? You would throw a shit fit if this is how your ad was actually running. But we accept this in digital. We think this is okay. Because again, we're looking at the data. We're looking at the numbers. So again, you need to see the numbers as well in the right way. And what I mean by that is that not everything is as it appears. So what you think are boobs, okay, well, I guess it's her ass. Oh, I guess it's his ass. So one of the most common questions I would get at Twitter is, did they actually watch my 30-second video? And they would log in and they'd look at the stats, and usually the first result is they would see completed views. And they would say, oh my God, only 10% completed my video. Now the same video, you could look at it this way, 90% of people actually completed all the content. How is that different? And then if you look, if you realize, then the last 5 seconds of the ad was actually just a logo. So the minute people saw a logo, boom, they logged off, they scrolled on, they didn't need to see anymore. And 25 seconds was brand content. So if you look at the stats the right way, you can tell yourself the real story, which was that you actually had 90% of people engaging with the content that mattered, and very few people stuck around to see your logo. And who the f*** cares? It's already in a post with your big logo on top of it anyhow. Not a big deal, but you see a success story in the way that you read the stats correctly. Another thing that happened at Twitter, we would see these campaigns with huge spikes. Oh my God, I got 462,000 tweets. People are using my hashtag. Amazing. And you'd see these huge spikes. And then you'd look at the trend. This one spike represents one day. This next spike is day two. Where did the brand go? Goldfish. We have attention spans less than a goldfish. And that's what happens to brands constantly. They blow all their media dollars. They try to get all this attention so they can get these huge spikes. They can get these huge numbers, show all their data how successful they are. And they did nothing for the brand because everyone forgot about them. And really, when we look at, when we actually do some studies on this, how do you actually grow a brand? How do you get your name out there? And over again, it's the green line, it's the consistency, it's always on, it's always being in front of people. You may not get these huge numbers and these huge spikes, but you have a consistent way of communicating with your audience. And if you're going for the big numbers, you're going to lose big. And again, as I mentioned, size isn't everything with data. And So again, and Facebook came out with this last week because Facebook's been getting a lot of pressure about the transparency of their stats, whether or not they're third-party verified, whether or not their stats are actually accurate. And so Facebook said last week, we're going to come out and we're going to do a platform. We're going to actually import everyone's data so you can clearly see. But right away, you can see what's going to be the problem with that. How is Facebook going to count a view from Twitter? How are they going to count a view coming in from Snapchat? How are they going to count a view coming in from Google? And I can bet you it's not going to be particularly clarity. And again, just seeing that data, that alone isn't going to help you give clarity because you have to coordinate it back to your key performance indicators. What does it mean for something on Snapchat? What does it mean for something on Instagram? What did it mean on YouTube? Merely looking at the data in one easy interface isn't going to solve your problems. Again, a lot of studies are out there. There's a lot of other research that you can tap on to any marketing campaign, just like you can with your TV and your out-of-home. So whether that's measuring awareness or your offline sales impact or conversation analysis, there's quantifiable things that you can do besides just looking at some online platform and trying to guess how you actually performed. You can actually measure it off real life. So again, using data is knowledge. Again, every platform measures differently. This is so, so important to remember. And again, you need to understand what the data means. Looking at those definitions, it's very difficult. But if someone's telling you you got a million views, ask how you got it. Ask how long it did. How did they measure this? And of course, data alone means nothing. You're looking for impact. You're not looking just for the numbers. And last, and I think the most important, and it's one of the hardest things to say to people, is to trust your gut and not the data. And this is really an interesting tweet. The constant challenge of modern relationships, how to prove more interesting than the other's smartphone. And for us as marketers and content producers, that's our exact same challenge as well. How do we do that? How do we get in front of people? How do we be interesting? And the first thing I would say is you have to stay true to your vision of what your creative vision of what you think is going to be the best way to tell that story. So we all know the saying, a camel is a racehorse built by committee. Of so much input of what a racehorse should be, we end up actually with a camel. And you see that with a lot of creative work today. And it was interesting. Netflix sent me this survey. I'm a huge Netflix fan. I watch a ton of Netflix. And so they said, all right, let's survey Ashley. Let's ask her things. And so I did this quiz. And they started asking me about a series of unfortunate events, the TV show. I'm not a huge fan, but it's a specific creative, it's a specific type, specific audience. And one of the questions they asked me, what are the characters you don't like? Well, this guy's a dick. I don't know if you've watched the show, but Count Olaf is a dick. So what I told them is that I don't like this character. Get rid of Count Olaf. So my next question is, which characters do you think you wish you saw more? Oh, well, Judge Strauss, she's awesome. She's so funny and cute. Yeah, why don't we put her in the story more? And then, of course, they asked me another question. What do you want to change? Because I'm the writer of the show. And so I gave my feedback. There's just simply too many unfortunate events that keep happening all the time. It's really depressing. I wanted to give helpful feedback so the director and the producers knew what to do. So if you actually look at that, thanks for your feedback. What is the data saying? If people answered like I did, if they just didn't particularly like the show, can you imagine what would happen? We'd kill off Count Olaf. We'd have more Judge Strauss. We'd make the story a lot more cheerful. And of course, we would destroy the creative core. All because I just don't particularly like the story, and maybe other people. And this is a danger of data. Again, so don't let that horse turn into a camel. Be careful of the data you're asking. Not everyone's going to like everything you do. No matter what you produce, you're going to get 5 billion different opinions. And listening to that can sometimes destroy your actual creative vision. So again, data cannot give you a success formula. And I saw this, I don't know if any of you have seen this movie. I think it's from 2011. It's called New Year's Eve. It's the one night anything is possible. I was spending time with my mom in the United States, and she's like, let's watch this movie. It's amazing. And I'm like, okay. And I looked at it, and I was like, okay. Oh, wow, look at the cast. Amazing. We got Sarah Jessica Parker, Hilary Swank. Ooh, Halle Berry. Oh, Robert De Niro. Seth Meyers, this is going to be an amazing movie because all of these people are big box office draws. These are a lot of talent. If you add this up into New Year's Eve, create tension, have an issue with a father and a daughter, and maybe some sort of love conflict, and then somebody that's pregnant and is going to give birth soon. Oh my God, we can feel the tension rising. And if you do that tension and then you layer on stars on top of it, it's going to be an amazing movie. Shit movie. Total fucking shit movie. My mom liked it. She did like it. She also loves Trump. So, what happened? I can just see the producers here saying, all right, we kind of want the American Love Actually. How can we do that? We can do that with this movie. We can put all the right people together, create a lot of interacting storylines, and we'll get the numbers that we want. Again, even with all those elements put together, you guys all know the content still needs to be good. There is no formula to make this happen. So, and lastly, you need to focus on the outcome, not the tactics. And if you look at the goal of advertising, the goal of even the content we're making is to make an emotional connection to that person. And whether that is to get them to buy your product or for them to watch your content or to engage with you, that's what you're trying to do. And a lot of this comes down to simple things. Is your content relevant? Is your content actually helpful? Is your content useful to somebody? And most importantly, is your content entertaining? If you're looking at this, if you're staying true to your vision and you're thinking about this, is this content hitting any of these four or even multiples of these, then you're going to be able to make that connection. And of course, we've heard this before, right content, right audience, right time. That is the basics of every type of content. There's no magical to digital marketing. There's no magic behind this of somehow being able to play the system, to do the right Snapchat story, to Instagram correctly. It's about the right content, the right audience at the right time. So again, with your vision, stay true to your vision. Data doesn't trump creative vision. Again, there is no success formula in data. And again, focus on the outcome. Stop worrying about the tactics of how you're going to make it go viral, how you're going to Instagram it, how you're going to do the campaign. Think about what the actual outcome is. Can you make an emotional connection to your audience? So, the big answer. Data alone is not the solution. But, of course, data can provide insights and information to help you do your best work. And that's how data should be used. So, use it for insights, use it for knowledge, and use it to help not listen to. Most importantly, sometimes ignore the data. You have to trust your own gut about what's right to do. And I love this, and of course I use a baby. Creativity is allowing yourself to make mistakes. Art is knowing which ones to keep. And hopefully data can inform you on that and not lead you to that. Thank you very much.
The holiday season is a great time to give back. As you make your plans, please consider a donation to help the people of Puerto Rico who are still suffering the effects of Hurricane Maria. Go to GoFundMe.com/Operation Puerto Rico Gift Lift to donate today. Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate LaCaire-Marion and social media coordinator Christian Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A, follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack, follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. Subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.